Well, you've heard about the critics, you've heard from the critics, you've also heard from the supporters, but what about the man himself? In the past hour, our Washington correspondent, Carol Coleman, was in the map room of the White House, where she received a rare and exclusive interview from the 43rd President of the United States, George Walker Bush, on the eve of his visit to Dublin and to Ireland.
About 24 hours' time, and no doubt you will be welcomed by our political leaders. Unfortunately, the majority of our public do not welcome your visit because they're angry over Iraq, they're angry over Abu Ghraib. Are you bothered by what Irish people think?
Listen, I hope the Irish people understand the great values of our country. And if they think that a few soldiers represents the entirety of America, they don't really understand America then. Now, there's been great ties between Ireland and America, and got a lot of Irish Americans here that are very proud of their heritage and their country. But they must not understand if they're angry over Abu Ghraib. If they say, this is what America represents, they don't understand our country because we don't represent that. We're a compassionate country. We're a strong country. We'll defend ourselves, but we help people. And we've helped the Irish, and we'll continue to do so. We've got a good relationship with Ireland.
And they're angry over Iraq as well, and particularly the continuing death toll there.
Well, I can understand that. People don't like war, but what they should be angry about is the fact that there was a brutal dictator there that had destroyed lives and put them in mass graves and had torture rooms. Listen, I wish they could have seen the seven men that came to see me in the Oval Office. They had their right hands cut off by Saddam Hussein because the currency had devalued when he was the leader. See? And guess what happened? And Americans saw the fact that they had been had their hands cut off and crosses or X's carved in their forehead. And he flew them to America, and they came to my office with a new hand, grateful for the generosity of America and with Saddam Hussein's brutality in their mind. Now, look, Saddam Hussein had used weapons of mass destruction against his own people, against the neighborhood. He was a brutal dictator who posed a threat, such a threat that the United Nations voted unanimously to say, Mr. Saddam Hussein...
Indeed, Mr. President, but you didn't find the weapons of mass destruction.
May I finish? He said, the United Nations said, disarm or face serious consequences. That's what the United Nations said. And guess what? He didn't disarm. He didn't disclose his arms. And therefore, he faced serious consequences. But we have found the capacity for him to make a weapon. See, he had the capacity to make weapons. He was dangerous. And no one can argue that the world is better off with Saddam Hussein, if Saddam Hussein were in power.
But, Mr. President, the world is a more dangerous place today. I don't know whether
you can see that
or not. There are terrorist bombings every single day. It's now a daily event. It wasn't like that 2 years ago.
What was it like September the 11th, 2001? There was a relative calm.
But if your response to Iraq was considered...
Let me finish, please. Please. You ask the questions, and I'll answer them if you don't mind. On September the 11th, 2001, we were attacked in an unprovoked fashion. Everybody thought the world was calm. And then there had been bombings since then. Not because of my response to Iraq. There were bombings in Madrid. There were bombings in Istanbul. There were bombings in Bali. There were killings in Pakistan.
Indeed, Mr. President, and I think Irish people understand that, but I think there is a feeling that the world has become a more dangerous place because you have taken the focus off Al-Qaeda and diverted into Iraq. Do you not see that the world is a more dangerous place? I saw four of your soldiers lying dead on the television the other day, a picture of four soldiers just lying there without their flag.
Listen, nobody cares more about the death than I do.
Is there a
Let me finish, and then you can follow up if you don't mind. Nobody cares more about the deaths than I do. I care about it a lot. But I do believe the world is a safer place and becoming a safer place. I know that a free Iraq is going to be necessary part of changing the world. Listen, people join terrorist organizations because there's no hope. And there's no chance to raise their families in a peaceful world where there is not freedom. And so the idea is to promote freedom and at the same time protect our security. And I do believe the world is becoming a better place, absolutely.
Mr. President, you are a man who has a great faith in God. I've heard you say many times that you strive to serve somebody greater than yourself.
Right.
Do you believe that the hand of God is guiding you in this war on terror?
I think that God, that my relationship with God is a very personal relationship. And I turn to the good Lord for strength. And I turn to the good Lord for guidance. I turn to the good Lord for forgiveness. But the God I know is not one that the God I know is one that promotes peace and freedom. And but I get great sustenance from my personal relationship. That doesn't make me think I'm a better person than you are, by the way. Because one of the great admonitions in the good book is, don't try to take a speck out of your eye if I got a log in my own.
You're going to meet Bertie Ahern when you arrive in Shannon Airport tomorrow.
Yeah.
I guess he went out on a limb for you, presumably because of the great friendship between our two countries. Can you look him in the eye when you get there and say, it will be worth it, it will work out?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have made the decisions I did if I didn't think the world would be better. Of course. But I'm not going to put people in harm's way or young if I didn't think the world would be better.
Why is it
now,
that
the let me finish. And so, yes, I can turn to my friend Bertie Ahern and say, thank you. Thanks for helping. And I appreciate it very much. And there'll be other challenges, by the way.
Why is it that others don't understand what you're about?
I don't know. History will judge what I'm about. But I'm the kind of person, I don't really try to chase popular polls, popularity polls. My job is to do my job and make the decisions that I think are important for our country and for the world. And I argue strongly that the world is better off because of the decisions I have made, along with others. America's not in this alone. One of our greatest allies of all in the world is your neighbor, Great Britain. Tony Blair's been a strong advocate for not only battling terrorists, but promoting freedom, for which I am grateful. Let me say one other thing about America that your viewers must know, is that not only are we working hard to promote security and peace, we're also working to eradicate famine and disease. There's no more generous country on the face of the earth than the United States of America when it comes to fighting HIV/AIDS. As a matter of fact,
it was my initiative.
That asked Congress to spend $15 billion over 5 years to battle this pandemic. And we're following through on it. And no other country in the world feeds more of the hungry than the United States. And so we're a compassionate nation.
Mr. President, I know your time is tight. Can I move you on to Europe? Are you satisfied that you are getting enough help in Iraq from European countries? You have come together, you are more friendly now, but they're not really stepping up to the plate with help, are they?
Well, I think, first of all, most of Europe supported the decision in Iraq. It's really what you're talking about is France, isn't it? And they didn't agree with my decision. They did vote for the UN Security Council resolution that said, disclose, disarm, or face serious consequences. We just had a difference of opinion about when you say something, do you mean it? But nevertheless, there's no doubt in my mind, President Chirac would like to see a free and democratic and whole Iraq emerge. And same in Afghanistan. They've been very helpful in Afghanistan. They're willing to forgive debt in Iraq. But most European countries are very supportive and are participating in the reconstruction of Iraq.
And how do you see the handover going? The next few weeks are going to be crucial. Can democracy really flourish with the violence that's going on? 100 Iraqis dead today, Mr. President.
Yeah, no, I don't like death either. I mean, you keep emphasizing the death, and I don't blame you. But all that goes to show is the nature of the enemy. These people are willing to kill innocent people. They're willing to slaughter innocent people to stop the advance of freedom. And so the free world has to make a choice. Do we cower in the face of terror, or do we lead in the face of terror? And I'm going to lead in the face of terror. We will not let these terrorists dash the hopes and ambitions of the people of Iraq. There's some kind of attitude that says, oh gosh, the terrorist attack, let's let the Iraqis suffer more. We're not going to let them suffer more. We're going to work with them. And I'm most proud of this fella, Prime Minister Alawi. He's strong and he's tough. He says to me, Mr. President, don't leave our country. Help us secure our country so we can be free.
Indeed, Mr. President, just to get back to that, can I just turn to the Middle East?
Sure.
You will be discussing at the EU summit the idea of bringing democracy to the broader Middle East.
Right.
Is that something that really should start, though, with the solving of the Israeli-Palestinian crisis?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got a democracy in Turkey. You've got a democracy emerging in Afghanistan. You got a democracy in Pakistan. In other words,
but shouldn't that be on the top of the list?
Please, for a minute, okay? It'd be better if you let me finish my answers, and then you can follow up if you don't mind. And what I'm telling you is democracy can emerge at the same time that a democracy can emerge in the Palestinian state. I just want to do so because I believe it is in the Palestinian people's interest. I believe it's in Israel's interest. And yes, we're working, but we can do more than one thing at a time. And we are working on the roadmap with the quartet to advance the process down the road. Like Iraq, the Palestinian and the Israeli issue is going to require good security measures.
And more even-handedness from America.
And we're working on security measures. In America, I'm the first president to ever have called for a Palestinian state. That's, to me, sounds like a reasonable, balanced approach. But I will not allow terrorists to determine the fate, as best I can, determine the fate of people who want to be free.
Mr. President, thank you very much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
And that was President Bush talking to our Washington correspondent, Carol Coleman, in the map room of the White House in the past hour. And I think I'm right in saying that that is the first such encounter since Brian Farrell sat down with Ronald Reagan in the library of the White House back in 1984.